B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
10 seconds left. Out at center ice, the Bruins have it. Now it's whacked into the Bruins zone. Pageau, right of the net, shoots wide, but time is going to run out. The New York Islanders get a late third period goal from J.G. Pageau and shut out the Bruins 1-0 in the first meeting between these two of the season. The Boston Bruins will end a three-game road trip 1-1-1, and they'll now head home to start a four-game homestand beginning Thursday at TD Garden against the Flyers.
And here we go, Felger and Maserati. Felger here from the remote A-hole chair location. Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I thought we'd spend the first hour today clearing out some other stuff before we get back to the meat of the matter, being Brady and the Patriots and all of that, but promised a little Bruins chatter, promised a little Celtics chatter, promised even just a smidge of Red Sox chatter. So, Maz Murray, how about we start off the first hour doing that? We okay with that?
I'm in.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to open it up to you. As soon as they wipe down the phones, they'll open them up, and you can weigh in on any of those three things. Bruins, Celtics slash Nets, Kyrie, Red Sox at 617-779-0985. Almost like an agenda freestyle. I'll just give you a quick opening thought on the Bruins, and I want a Maz take on the Sox. And the Bruins, you know, simply put, they have yet to score, basically. They have yet to score an even strength goal this season. And so the question is, are you worried about the team? And I would say I am not yet. I am not yet, and I'll tell you why. I think it's a little bit of a funky open to the season. I knew this last game, this Islanders game, they weren't going to be able to leak a drop. Because I just know Barry Trotz, the coach there, is your classic lock-it-down defensive-style coach. And the Islanders had given up 5 goals the game before. And I know that Barry Trotz got all up in that ass and, you know, laid down the wood to those guys on the Islanders after that 5-goal game that they gave up 5 goals. And I knew they were going to lock it down, and I knew you were struggling to begin with, and I knew that I did not feel good about that Islanders game in terms of you scoring. So I'm going to give it I'm going to show some patience, some rare patience when it comes to the Bruins. It's the Devils who are back to grinding it out, and the Islanders who will grind it out better than anyone. And so the schedule should open up here a little bit. The teams are going to be better that they face, but they're going to be a little bit more wide open. Flyers, Penguins, Capitals, and then I think you get the Flyers again. Those are your next 8 games. Some of them are going to be at home. Okay, so let me see what it looks like after that. And then I'll give you, whether I'm worried or not. Let me just give you one thing that I've noticed. One thing that I've noticed, and not that I'm like Scotty Bowman here or Mr. Hockey Tactician, but one thing I have noticed, technically, on the Bruins, I don't think it's an effort thing, okay, because they're defending. And usually when a team stops trying, you see it on the goals against. When they tune out a coach, you see it in the goals against. When they're defending, they're still sort of engaged. So it's something else. I think their offense has gone stale, Maz. I think their offense has gone stale. Do you remember when Cassidy first took over?
Yes.
And they said, one of the big things was that the offense was relying too much on the point. They kept passing it back out to the D. It's all they did. Grind the puck out in the corner, send it out to the D, hope for a tip or a rebound. And that was their whole offense. It just went stale under Claude. And like that first week with Cassidy, do you remember how they played?
Yeah, defense get activated the whole 9 yards. They were a much different team.
Making plays below the dots. So, you know, don't just pass it back out to the D. Make a play below the dots. And I feel the Bruins have lapsed right back into that thing with Claude offensively, which is get it back to the D, point shot. Get it back to the D, point shot. Get it back to the D, point shot. And I feel they've gone stale. I feel they've gone stale offensively. They're better than this. We can quibble with the talent, but they're better than this. I mean, they should be able to score a little bit, and they're not. And I think the offense has gone totally stale. That's my Bruins thought. Maz, Murray, hold yours. Callers, you can join us on that. I want a Red Sox take from Maz. One, Maz, I think they're making a mistake trying to trade Andrew Benintendi. That's just the specific question, but more in general, what the hell are they doing?
Okay, so again, look, with regard to Benintendi, just real quick, to me it depends what they get back. I'm not giving him away, but if I can get pitching for him, I'm moving him. That said, I know we had planned to talk about them, and in the interim, Dan Shaughnessy wrote a story on the Boston Globe quoting Sam Kennedy, the team president. Kennedy says, quote, "I think it would be inaccurate to say we are going for it with an all-in approach that perhaps we did prior to the 2018 title. And then he says the goal is to be competitive in the American League East in 2021, but also for the long term. But again, the important part, it would be inaccurate to say we are going for it with an all-in approach that perhaps we did prior to 2018. Fine. I expected that. What I did not expect was nothing. I did not expect nothing. And I recognize there's still a good part of the offseason left here. But George Springer just went to the Toronto Blue Jays for 6 years and 150. That feels like chump change to me in the modern market. Mookie Betts got almost $400 million. Okay, George Springer's not quite the same player, or not the same player. But for 150 over 6 years, I would have done that if I were the Red Sox. That would have been a good alternative to Mookie in terms of cost or value per dollar. How about just value, period? It would have been a good alternative to get a guy like Springer. And I said to you, if I'm the Red Sox, I don't give up my second-round pick for Trevor Bauer because I'm picking number 34 or whatever it is this year. I'd have done it for that Springer deal because the money is so good. That's a good deal. Springer's, what, 30, 31 years old? He's got 4 or 5 good years left or something close to it. And so I would have done a deal like that. And I am now worried that Chaim Bloom doesn't want to make any big move ever. So we don't know a lot about this guy. But he's from Tampa Bay, and he always takes a conservative approach. So you tell me, would you rather have Hunter Renfroe for 1 year and $3 million or George Springer for six and $150 million? In Boston, I'll take Springer. In Tampa Bay, I might take Renfroe.
Does it bother you that they're taking a slow build and admitting it?
They're taking so again, I don't mind rebuilding the minor league system. I'm in favor of it. It's critical. They depleted their minor leagues. They got to rebuild that. Do they have to go this far with it? Like, when I say this far, Mike, who have they signed? Charlie Morton went to Atlanta for $15 million. Corey Kluber went to the Yankees for $11 million. John Lester went to the Washington Nationals for $4.5 million. These are all one-year contracts for chump change, and the Red Sox need pitching. They need affordable pitching. So either they get outbid by those teams, or they can't lure those players because they suck so bad. So it's one or the other, and I'm worried about that.
Bruins thoughts, Red Sox thoughts, 617-779-0985. Did you watch, and I asked you this the other day, I know you just saw the highlights. I watched almost the whole thing, so this is a rhetorical question to ask the people of Boston. Did you watch the Nets and the Bucks the other night? What a tremendous game that was, first of all. But second of all, how do you feel about the Brooklyn Nets? How do you feel about James Harden? And how do you feel about, well, the return of Kyrie Irving, and how does that all relate to you? And the Celtics are playing tonight, so we're here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We have the Bruins. The Celtics are going to switch to, do we send them to 92.9 or 105.7? Where do they go?
No, the Bruins play tomorrow.
Oh, the Bruins are tomorrow.
Yeah. Bruins are tomorrow.
Celtics are tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Okay, never mind. Just the Celtics tonight. Either way, boy, I was impressed with Harden. I was impressed with Harden and that Nets team. I still like that team. I mean, I still don't love giving up LeVert and Allen. I think those were key pieces. But they still have a nice team that I think fits together. And Harden and Durant on the floor together worked. And I don't think they really played together. It's not like they played off each other. I was mentioning this to you yesterday, Maz. It felt to me, watching that game against the Bucks, that they just took turns. It's like, you know, it's my trip down the floor, now it's your trip down the floor. Or you got the ball, we're going to swing it to the other side, now I got the possession. And it's not like they played off each other very often. There were a couple of times they kind of did, but for the most part, it was sort of, you know, I go, you go. And it worked. It worked. And James Harden, it's not like he was hogging the ball. He will pass the ball, and, you know, you forget. He's a better passer than you give him credit for, because he's such a ball-hogging pig of a player that you forget that he's actually a good passer. And DeAndre Jordan must have had 14 points just on dunks, layoff dunks from James Harden. They were good, Maz. They were scary. The Nets are scary.
Well, so look, again, if it gels, they are going to be scary. They're going to stay that way. And in his two games in Brooklyn so far, James Harden is averaging 33 points, 13 assists, and 9 rebounds. Okay, in his two games. He's also averaging 7.5 turnovers. He has 15 turnovers in the two games. Okay, so this is the part of Harden's game I don't like. He can get inefficient. This is why I think of him as a volume scorer. He's a ball possession guy. He's got to have the ball in his hands all the time. I think Kyrie is better with the ball. Kyrie doesn't turn it over nearly as much as Harden does. So I'd run it through Kyrie. But Mike, if they buy in, they're scary good. Scary good.
So I don't know how it works with Kyrie. I don't know how it works with Kyrie. I mean, Harden is Harden's dribble, step back, or dribble into the lane, get a big man to commit, and dump off or draw the foul. Like, that's his whole game. He's not really a catch and shoot guy. In fact, he missed a big 3-pointer at the end of the game when it was a clear catch and shoot situation. And so Kyrie's the same way. I mean, Kyrie can do it all, but they both have to pound the ball into the floor. So I don't get how it works with them. I don't. I think Brooklyn has enough without Kyrie Irving. I mean, now that I look at it, and I still like the way some of the pieces fit. I mean, DeAndre Jordan fits. He fits just rebounding and dunking and running the like that. That works. And who's the white guy? Joe Harris? Like, he's a good complement to those guys. He can shoot. You know, you leave him open, he's going to shoot. He's going to make it. They still have a good team. And Harden and Durant work. They worked. I don't know how Kyrie works. I really don't. And now, apparently, he's back. Are you buying that he's back? Is he going to help matters or hurt matters there in Brooklyn?
Well, I think there's every chance that it could be either. So I'll call it a coin flip.
Well, so we know that.
Do I think Kyrie Irving can live in a world where he's the third option? No, I don't. And so now look, as we discuss it, Kyrie has been a spot-up shooter with LeBron. That's basically what he had to do. Okay, now, not quite that simple, but...
That's a good point.
He was more of that with LeBron than Harden ever was. So I suppose if Kyrie wants to, he can adapt his game to it. The question is, does he want to? I think it might last for a little while, because look, this is the guy's track record. At the end of the day, I don't think it's going to work with Kyrie. With anybody at this stage, how could it? It's just he's so impossible if he's not the show. So I just think that it'll be fine for a little while. But you know what? At the end of the day, he's going to have a meltdown again, and who knows what the hell happens.
Harden, to me, I mean, again, I really dislike the player over his career, and I really am not interested in his game. I find his game, you know, it's just I step back three, try and draw a foul. You know, penetrate the lane, try and draw a foul. Get to the line. Like, I just... Oh God! I just hate the free throws and the flopping and the trying to draw a foul. Like, I don't like his game. That said, that's a precursor. That's a qualifier for if he's the second guy, it's kind of different. You know, when he has the ball, the offense is going through him, but he doesn't have the ball all the time. It's not Harden centric. And Durant, Maz, is so freaking good.
Bad man.
He can get. I keep saying he's Giannis with the game. He can get any shot he wants at any time from anywhere on the floor, and he can make them all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is just, you forget, and he's got a hand for a guy his size. He's got a good handle, mm-hmm. and the whole thing. Like, that guy, and now you give him someone next to him who is going to be there, and I think Harden is going to be there, and he even looks slimmer in the black uniform, Maz, and I don't even know what's going on there, but Harden goes to Brooklyn. They score over 120 each game. They give up a lot, you know. They're two close games, but that might work. That thing, after watching it the other night, that's my takeaway. That Brooklyn thing might work.
Oh yeah, no, the talent's there. And again, the next thing you know, they'll go to pinstripes to make them look even more slim down. You know, something nice and thin.
All right, all the other stuff, meaning all the other stuff other than our Brady Belichick Patriots thing, which, believe me, we will get to, and we have material for you today. But let's clear out some thoughts on this other stuff, and we'll do it with you and your calls right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
To Felger and Mass on your phone.
I don't care.
With the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Has anything that's gone on, made you change your commitment to basketball at all, minimize the importance of it?
It's just a separation between what's going on here, you know, when I'm playing professionally, and what's going on out in the world. And if you don't create that distinction, then it's easy to feel the weight of the world while you're going out there and playing. So, you know, I would be lying sitting here and saying I don't feel what's going on in the world, and nor am I paying attention to it. You know, I just have a huge responsibility, I feel, to continue to serve my community and the underserved. And, you know, when I'm out here playing, it's continuing to leave knowledge with these guys and commit to something, like I always say, bigger than ourselves. You know, this team environment here, or just in basketball in general, it takes sacrifice and compromise. You know, we got to come to an agreement and just stay in balance throughout this long journey. So that's all I'm trying to do.
Meanwhile, Kyrie's back. Can't you tell? The oxygen is being sucked out of the room. Before we go to your phones, Murray, you have a thought about Kyrie Irving and what he had to say yesterday?
I do, and I will gladly take any blowback from this because I frankly don't care about this guy. If you buy this, well, I've got problems, you just don't understand, act. It's an act. That's on you. Because I won't do it. Oh, I'm so mercurial. No one understands me. No one knows what I stand for. But I won't wear a mask at my sister's party when it's pretty easy to do. I know a lot of people are inconvenienced by it. But if you're going to take time away from your job and not tell your employer why you're taking time off, but you show up in a video at your sister's party not wearing a mask during this time, I'm sorry. Again, I think you lose all moral high ground. I said that last week. And I have real empathy for real mental illness. I do. But I have zero tolerance for a look-at-me a-hole who goes through life like a burden. And that's what he is. He's no different to me than an Antonio Brown. And I have no tolerance for him. It sucks that I have to swallow my pride and root for him in a Bucks uniform right now, but Kyrie to me is the same thing. In this case, the talent doesn't trump the trouble.
Yeah, he's not as bad a guy as Antonio Brown is. But and when I say as bad a guy, Antonio Brown's a lawbreaker.
Well,
right?
True, yes. There's real crimes there, but I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? In terms of, like, being a burden to
others.
Like, that, Kyrie, no different to me. None.
So, look, I'm just tired of hearing him talk. I'm tired of hearing him talk. And I'm sorry, Mike, I didn't mean to interject here, because I think you want to go to calls. I know we're not in the same place today. But I just say this quickly about Kyrie. We have it on tape. He lies. He lies. He was asked about the meeting with Kevin Durant in the corridor at the All-Star game, and he lied about it. So how do you believe anything that comes out of the guy's mouth? He will say, he will lie right to your face and claim he's telling the truth. Okay, so I just dismiss everything he says. I think the guy's a liar.
Well, in the short term, I hope he gets it together. I hope he gets on the floor, and I want to see if it can work. Just from a sport, you know, sports, from a sports standpoint, how do you, like, I just don't think the games fit. I don't think Harden and Kyrie's game fits together. Never mind the personalities and the egos and the fragility, certainly, of Kyrie Irving. Like, that's a whole soap opera thing. That's sort of non-sports. But I want to see it on the floor. I mean, just watching Harden and Durant is pretty good. I mean, that's a pretty good product. That was a pretty good product the other night.
And can I just say something about Harden real quick, too? Because this was all over the internet, and I don't know if you noticed it watching that game the other night. Was he wearing a fat suit at the end in Houston, or did he just purposely gain water weight or something? Because it looked like he lost 20 pounds in 3 days.
I mentioned it. I don't know if it's the black uniform. He was wearing light blue the first night, so I don't know if it's just the color of the uniform or what, but he didn't look out of shape to me. And he's a little barrel-chested, so I'm not saying like he was svelte, but certainly the way he looked in that blue warm-up where we played the video over and over, that he didn't look like that, I'll tell you that much. Okay, to your phones here on everything, as promised. Paul in Maine, lead us off.
Yeah, hey guys, Murray, you're right. That act of contrition was absolutely meaningless. Did you guys see how sad he looked in that interview? He cannot stand to watch Durant and Harden having fun and playing so well together. And yesterday, Felger, Tim Legler commented that he thinks the Nets are playing near-perfect basketball without him. Guys, I can't wait to watch this thing unravel. Do you think the Nets will try to make it work, or will Kyrie simply ovulate his way out of town before too long?
No, they're going to try and make it work. They have to. Why wouldn't you? Because if it works... you can go toe-to-toe with the Lakers. I mean, you're arguably the best team in basketball if it works. So you have to. The upside's too great. Of course, you got it. You've got it. You got your big three. You got the best team in basketball. And again, when I say team, you don't have to have eight guys. You need three. They've got it. You know, they got the best threesome in the league. If it works, you have to. Absolutely. And I even let it blow up once or twice before I finally say no. You can't. The upside's too great. So they're going to do it. And I saw that Legler spot. He said Kyrie doesn't work on the floor. It's not going to work. And, boy, that's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see. Can Kyrie subjugate himself on the floor?
I doubt it.
You know, can Harden subjugate himself on the floor?
To Durant, he can.
Right. Right. Exactly. Good point. Tim in Nashua has a Bruins thought. Go ahead, Tim.
Right. Sweeney made a move for the defense. We're going to go this way. We're going to go with the young players. So now your best goal scorer is missing. He's injured and he's out. Now this should be almost like an audition for the younger players. Do you think that Sweeney's going to make a move for a top six forward, or is he going to stand pat with this? Because
he's going to stand pat. He's going to stand pat unless they look like they're really on to something. They're at the trade deadline, and they think they have a real chance at a run, and then he'll add a rental piece. And that's what he should do. That's what he should do. Why? I'm not selling out right now because I lost to the Islanders and split with the Devils, and it's a little too early. I once jumped the gun on the Bruins after three games, and they made a commercial out of it. So I've learned my lesson. I mean, I'm going to give it at least six games before.
I'm going to give it at least four.
Yeah, right, before I write them off.
Yeah, it's premature to freak out and say that they stink or anything like that. But I do see some things that concern me. I think Charlie Coyle, who has no goals, no assists, three total shots, and he kind of looks slow. Like, that is concerning. But, hey, there was no preseason. They didn't have any games, so it's going to take some guys some time to ramp up. But I will say this. All I know about the team so far through three games, they're boring. That game Saturday, it literally put me to sleep. The one the other night against the Islanders, I took a nap during. Like, defensive hockey does nothing for me, and I know that has something to do with the opponent, especially against the Islanders. But through three games, I give the Bs a B for boring.
Yeah, certainly not a scintillating product. Certainly not. And, you know, it is starting to add up. Our buddy Boston Sports Inf, you know, just sent some simple stats, but they're kind of scary when you look at it. David Krejci has not scored a goal in 19 games going back to last year.
Oof.
0 for his last 19. Charlie Coyle, you just mentioned, has one goal in his last 11. Jake DeBrusk has one goal in his last 17. Anders Bjork has no goals in his last 16 games. And then the new guys you mentioned, Trent Frederick, who I kind of like, and I'm beginning to wonder why, because he's played 20 games. His stat line reads 0-0-0.
How many penalty minutes?
I don't have that.
zero
minus five. Andre Kashe, who, again, I will tell you that I kind of like. And then again, you have the right to ask me why. And I couldn't tell you why. Because in 19 games as a Boston Bruin, including the playoffs, he has no goals. So just skating around out there. So why do I like him? I don't know. I should probably stop liking him. If you go 19 games without a goal. Studnicka, who I sort of like the looks of, Mass. This is, again, like, why? Why do I like the looks of this kid? He's played 9 games for the Bruins, including the postseason. No goals. Why do I like these guys? I shouldn't like them. They can't score. But it's early. It's early. Let's see them grow into it. Let me see a different opponent. You know, Studnicka debuted last year in the playoffs. It's kind of a rough opening. But it is starting to add up. So, look. I still like Charlie Coyle. I still like David Krejci. I think given his age, they could trade him. But, you know, he's still a good player. Coyle's still a good player. There's no excuse for these guys going this long without producing. I think the offense has gone a little stale. I think they're just way too willing to just dump it back to the point. And, I mean, just watch them. It's just this endless parade of useless point shots that they're just hoping for tips or rebounds. Sometimes you have to do that. I get it. I understand that. But when Cassidy first took over, he said, we have to start making plays below the dots. We have some skilled center. We got some good players down low. Make a play down low. Don't just dump it out to the point and hope for a tip or a rebound. Like, try for something a little bit more than that. They're better than that. They don't have to do that. And I think they've gotten really stale on that end of the ice. That's just my takeaway on the Bs. We continue with your thoughts. Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox even. I don't think they should be trying to trade Andrew Benintendi. I'll pick that up on the other side right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mads.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kimbrel deals in the air, deep left field, hit well. Benintendi on the run. He's got it! And the Boston Red Sox are headed to the World Series. The Red Sox will celebrate on the road once again.
Anthony Benintendi, key piece to that World Championship team, which is not why I want to keep him. Yes. He was the 7th overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
He hit 290, I think, his second year in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's officially had 5 years, I guess, but he's really only had 3. I mean, the rookie year I don't count. I think he played 30-something games his rookie year. And last year he played like 2 weeks, right?
Correct.
So he's only had 3 full seasons. And he's coming off a couple of bad ones. But this is kind of the point in a guy's career where you figure out what he's got, or he makes a move, or he makes a jump. I mean, I don't know exactly what year it was that Devers was in when he had his big year, or Betts, or these guys, but it's right around this range. It's right around this time. Kid does have a lot of talent. He doesn't cost you that much. Why wouldn't you just sit there and wait to see if he has that year? I mean, what is he this super hot commodity right now that you're going to crush a trade? I don't get why they're trading him.
Okay, they're trading him because they need pitching, and they don't have anything else they can offer that has value. That's really what it is. And so, look, if you're asking me, would I give him away? The answer is no. I mean, I see where you're coming from on this. But I also think that he and Verdugo are similar. Not identical, similar profile players. Neither one's... Go ahead.
Who's got a higher ceiling?
I actually think Verdugo does now. Hmm. I do. I've come to that conclusion. I think Verdugo's got a little more power. And so I think Verdugo's got a higher upside. Benintendi might hit for a higher average, but I think Verdugo's they're comparable. And this is all I'm saying is I would trade one of them if you can get something. And I lean towards trading Benintendi over Verdugo because, A, you know, Verdugo feels like a little bit of a better player to me, and B, you're going to have him for a longer period of time. So again, I am not saying they should dump Benintendi. But if you can get something for him, would I move him? Yes, I would.
Okay, right. So that's like if someone comes to me and wants to overpay me for Andrew Benintendi, fine. Go ahead. Yeah, I'll look at anything like that at this stage with the Red Sox. Absolutely. I feel like they're shopping him. I mean, the way it's being portrayed, it's like they're out actively looking for a deal for Andrew Benintendi. And I don't get why. Like, you don't know if he's what he is yet. I mean, and you've been down on him the whole time. I mean, I get that, but hey, he's going to be, he's 26.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's coming into a, if he's going to pop and be something, this is when it happens. And if you're just selling him now to sell him, then you blew the draft pick, right?
I would say yes. Yeah. I mean, he's not as good as a number 7 pick should be. He's not.
I'm going through. I just looked. We don't ever do this. We do this in football and other sports.
Wasn't a great draft.
I looked at the 2015 draft. There's really guys that they passed on. Walker Buehler, the great pitcher with the Dodgers, went 24 that year.
Correct.
In the first round. I mean, that's just one. How about the Braves pitcher Soroka?
Yeah. So Mike, is it Mike Soroka?
Correct.
Yeah.
Soroka, right. He went 28 that year.
Yeah, he was a good pitcher, but Buehler's the big one in that draft. Buehler's the big one. You already hit on that. But
yeah,
look at
Ian Happ with the Cubs went
bust.
9 overall. Right, okay. It's not like they passed on someone. It's hard to do that in baseball like we do other sports. But still, I don't know. I'm waiting to see if Benintendi can pop and be something.
See, I just don't think he's ever going to turn anything that they really, really regret. And when I say that, I mean, you know, could he replicate what he did in 2018? You know, 20 homers, 20 doubles, 20 homers, 20 steals, 40 doubles, that kind of player? Sure. Yeah. Is he going to turn into a middle of the order bat who hits 35 homers? No. And I'll tell you, to answer your question, why are they doing this? One is they have a need. But here's the other element that, honestly, I don't know. I'm speculating. Maybe he's had it with them. If you were Benintendi, wouldn't you be done with the Red Sox? And when
why
I say,
would you be?
Because I think they effed him up. I go back and look at what he was at the beginning of his career here, and now I think they tried to incorporate all this launch angle and turn him into something he's not, and they've screwed him up. He looked like garbage at the beginning of last year. He wasn't making contact. He's gotten worse. And I think it's all out of this whole launch angle, modern metrics, take every guy and shoehorn him into the analytics model, the launch angle model. I think that, and if I'm Benintendi, I'm looking at the Red Sox and saying, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm going back to doing it the way I played before because I was a better player when I hit 20 homers and 40 doubles and ran a little bit. Like, I was a, that's what I am, and that's what I have to be in order to play in the big leagues. Hey,
look, I agree with you. I just don't know how many teams would let him do that.
I know.
It's not a Red Sox thing. It's the whole sport.
Agreed.
We've been over this. It's all run by the same guy. It's all run by the same group of 30 clones. They're all clones. And they all are preaching the same thing. So the next team's going to want him to do, you know, look at pitches and launch angle, and we don't care about strikeouts and the whole thing, or do the same thing. But that's a fair beef. Like, did modern baseball ruin a guy like Andrew Benintendi?
Yes.
Who should have been, who should be, this all-around player. So he's got a nice swing, but, you know, call him a slasher, a line drive hitter, a doubles line drive hitter who can run, steal some bags, play D, good contact guy, and that's what he is. But that doesn't work. That doesn't compute nowadays with the 30 clones that run Major League Baseball. It's about home runs, strikeouts, and they don't care about your double. They don't care about your slashing. They don't care about your line drives. We don't want line drives. We don't want balls in play. We want a strikeout or a home run. And the nerds have ruined Andrew Benintendi.
Yes. That's what I believe, that the guy like him is the guy that's getting squeezed out. And keep an eye on Verdugo in this way, because, again, he's a similar kind of guy. Verdugo's not one of these guys who swings from his ass. And he started to hit some home runs last year. And if you remember, he said at one point, I'm not a launch angle guy. That's not what I am. But it started to look like he was changing a little. So I want to see how that one goes over the long term, because if they're smart, they won't mess with Verdugo either. You know, just leave him be. Let him be what he is. Let him be the kind of guy that's going to hit a crap ton of doubles. He'll get you 20 homers, maybe. He'll play some good defense and good on base. Just take him for what he is. They better not F him up, too.
Okay. Meanwhile, Sam Kennedy today, the Red Sox president, basically admitted that they're in a bridge year.
Yep.
Which, I mean, if you remember back in the day, the pretzel twisting and the parsing of words that the Red Sox would go through to not admit they were in a bridge year. Like, it was a dirty word. It was a four-letter word to them. And how they just would never admit that and could never admit that. And now it feels like they can admit it. And Sam Kennedy, in so many words, admitted that they're not all in for winning a championship this year. Is that the right approach? Does it bug you that he said it? Do you applaud that he said it? I applaud that he said it. At least say it. You know, and who knows? I still think they should contend, whether they're treating it as a bridge year or not. I still think they have enough. So there's just a little Red Sox thought for you. We will get back to your calls, I promise, in our long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with an 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bucks by one, 47 seconds to go. Durant with it up top. Moves it left, cut off, back on the wing. Harden's got it. Three on the way. No good, too strong. Harden is on rebound. Out to Durant. Open three. Gone! OKD! On the offensive rebound by the Beard. And the Nets take a two-point lead with 34 seconds to go.
Kind of scary, those two together. In that late-game sequence, you really saw it. It's kick to Harden for a catch-and-shoot three. They're down two, I think. He just said it, but, you know, one of the last possessions of the game. Harden, three, misses it. He follows his own rebound, kick out to Durant. Splashes a three at the top of the key. It's like Harden, Durant, they look good, and they I think those two can work. So what does Kyrie do to that whole thing? That's a big question. Ben and Groveland, what are your thoughts?
Hey, guys, I have a quick off-the-court point with Kyrie, then on the court with the Nets really quick. During that interview in these last few weeks, I have not seen a person be more dismissive, patronizing. He couldn't be bothered to answer those questions. And he wants to serve the community and be a role model, yet he's refusing or unwilling to have the respect for his artistry that he talks about or his profession, his coach, his organization, to even give them a call back. And regarding to on the court with the Nets, I think they will be okay because with Kyrie on the court, they're that talented. But Harden will actually be a better one than Kyrie will be because Harden is actually willing to make the extra pass to KD. I don't think Kyrie will. I think they'll be all right in the playoffs. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Kyrie's the third wheel there.
He is, yeah. But I'll tell you what, just let's also be clear on something. When we say Harden and Durant work, and they do, Durant and Kyrie worked. I mean, when Kyrie wanted to play with Durant and he was interested, it worked. Because I think Durant is the key there. Durant can pretty much work with anybody because of his game. The problem is that Kyrie's just a putz. That's really the problem. He is. He's a putz.
And on that first part of the call where he's saying how he's acted with the media yesterday, and he looked so miserable. What do you expect? Because, you know, again, a month ago he said he's not going to talk to pawns, so he's above it. You know, the people that he had to talk to yesterday, they're beneath him. So, of course, he's going to look like he's put out and miserable.
Mike, the question is, Kyrie and Harden, can they work together?
He's such a freaking tool bag. Ian in New Bedford. Go ahead, Ian.
What's going on, guys? You know what's scarier than the Nets offense? Marcus Smart shooting. He's 14 for 48 the last four games. I just think he's gotten more and more inefficient, shooting less than 35% for the year. The roster only has room for one run, and that's Peyton Pritchard. So I think we got to go out and get Beal. He's Tatum's guy, and obviously the Bucks are a good defensive team, and they couldn't slow down Brooklyn. So how are you going to get out of the East? You need more offense. Let's get Beal.
Ian, or anyone else, you give up Jaylen Brown for him? I was surprised to hear that Chris Gasper would give up Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal.
I wouldn't.
I think I probably would.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I don't think I would either. But that's what, you know, this is sort of the spot I keep talking about with the Celtics. It's like, you are kind of ride or die with this group, but if you want to add, if you want to improve, like if you want to get another all-star in here, something's got to go. So it's not like you can be Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving, and add another max guy. No, one of those guys have to go, and it's Tatum or Brown. Because I don't think, you know, Kemba Walker gets you that. I don't think he gets you anything in return. So this is it. Either you've got to wait for Tatum and Brown to grow up and hit their window, or you got to peel one of them off to get an upgrade. And that's I think, the spot you're in. So how patient are you willing to be? Tony and Stoneham on the Red Sox. Yes, Tony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, Murray is the expert on football. Tony's the expert on baseball. You're the expert on hockey.
I mean, I'm the expert on nothing, but go ahead.
No, you're expert on hockey.
Me neither.
Maz is 100% right on Benintendi. Now, if you want to move someone, I might keep Benintendi and try to move Bradley if I get what I want for trading Benintendi.
Okay, Tony, I'm just going to cut you off. I'm sorry. Bradley's a free agent. He's still out there.
Correct.
They're not bringing him back, Maz, are they?
So I rule out nothing. My question is not whether they'd bring him back. It's whether he'd come back.
Well, but hold on. So they don't want to pay Andrew Benintendi $6 million, but they're going to pay Jackie Bradley $10 or whatever it is?
Well, I think a lot of these numbers are going to come down. I think that's what the issue is. So, and when I say come down, I mean, you know, John Lester got $4.5 million. So the even George Springer, who's a good player on a real market, would have made $30 million a year. More. He had 25 for six. Like,
I don't care about this. Andrew Benintendi's a better player than Jackie Bradley. He's a better hitter. He's a chance to be a better player. The ceiling's higher. I don't want to see Jackie Bradley here and not Andrew Benintendi.
Agreed.
That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, I don't think it's a money thing. I think the thing with Benintendi is about what they can get for him, if they can get something. They have nothing else to trade. They have nothing of any value, really, to trade that they don't need. And when need, you know, they can get away with dealing Benintendi. They can't trade Bogarts and keep a straight face.
So you mentioned these guys. Why don't they spend a little bit of money on Kluber or Lester? It's not like those guys were huge money guy, and you didn't have to give anything up. Why don't you just do that?
So this is what's irritating me right now, is that you say, okay, well, you know, the Kluber deal was $11 million. Okay, Kluber's coming off an injury, missed a lot of time. The Yankees gave him $11 million. Is that a lot for a guy coming off an injury? Maybe in this market, maybe. So what? You have no other choice. It's a one-year deal. If you have to pay $16 million for Corey Kluber, you do it because you don't have any other options. So now look, I'm willing to give Bloom a little bit of latitude because there are a lot of players still out there. So let's see what happens. But it feels to me like every guy they're interested in is ending up somewhere else. So do they want to pay for a player or not? They were under the luxury tax last year. So what, are they going to do it again? Like, this is the part that's irritating me.
Dean in Shrewsbury on the Nets. Go ahead, Dean.
The Nets are the ultimate boom or bust team. 538 had them before the trade as a 2% chance to win the championship. Now they have them up to 16%, which is second in the NBA. But a computer doesn't know that Larden needs to lose weight. Burner accounts as the thinnest-skinned player in the game. And the artist formerly known as Kyrie is a pretentious DB. So this should be fascinating watching. I can see them winning it all, or I can see them end up hating each other and being in the lottery.
Okay, of course, Dean. Thank you. And Matt sort of answered the question the same way before. I understand that. So let's try and get to a place where we think one thing over the other, because I understand it could all work or it could not. Like, that's really not a take. That's really not saying anything. And if 538 has them only at 16% to win the championship, I'd say those odds are about as good as they put Trump at in Ohio and Florida. You know, I think they're a little off on that. Right now, I put the Nets the number two team in the league, Mass.
Well, but that's what he said, that the 16% put them second. So,
I'm sorry. I missed that part. 16% put them second?
It did.
I feel like that's high.
Yeah, it did. It put them second behind the Lakers.
They should be second, but then they should be like 40%. But whatever, I'm not going to quibble. I don't know what Nate Silver's doing there.
So
to me, the Nets are the second team in the league.
So you want me to pick a side? I'll pick a side. If you ask me today, is it going to work or blow up? My answer is blow up.
Same.
And the reason I say that is Kyrie. I just don't think Kyrie can do it. I think Harden with Durant can subjugate himself. And I think that anybody of those three with Durant should be able to subjugate himself. But Kyrie cannot bring himself to do it because he's too important.
But this is what I'm telling you. The Nets are good enough to get out of the East without Kyrie.
They won't win it, though, without Kyrie.
Okay. The matchup against the Lakers, I don't like as much. They might need Kyrie to beat the Lakers. But they have Durant's that good. Durant's that good. And if Harden's the number two and accepts the number two role and accepts more of a complimentary role, And not a dinner roll. He is freaking nasty. He's nasty. And they're good. They're good. They're better than you. They're better than Philly. They're better than Milwaukee. I'm surprised Milwaukee hung in there like they did, frankly. Because I just thought the Nets had so many more. Even if it's only two guys, they had just so many better, sure options on offense when you got to the end of that game. And you needed a basket. I mean, that last sequence we just played you. Harden, Durant. The Bucks can't match that. You match that a little better. But no one else matches that. So, to me, they're the second team in the NBA until proven otherwise. And I'm rooting for Kyrie to come back and make it work because I want to see what that looks like. And even if it works, then it can blow up, and then that'll be fun too. But there's your thought on that. All right.
What did Dean call him? Larden?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I like that.
Maybe
I like it.
I missed the joke as usual. So there's an hour on everything else. Now let's get back to the meat of the matter, the bone.
Yeah.
The bone of the matter. Let's bone it.
I'm in. The gravy.
Oh, no. I want to get back to the bone.
And the bone being Brady boning the Patriots and all of this. And Maz has a thought on the quarterbacks that are left in the playoffs, where they come from, what that means for you, how that relates to you. That whole topic will get to you and your phone calls on all of it right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.